Okay. We will pay respect to the Buddha again. Then we start our Q&A in Dhamma Talk. Okay. Compose your mind, develop the Saddha, the faith. Then we pay respect mindfully to the Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Okay, now is Q&A, question and answer. You can report your meditation. You can also submit whatever question you have through the papers. You can get it from Stephanie. Then if you want to ask direct, you can also ask direct. The mic around. There's a mic here, there's another one at the back. Okay. Anybody want to report their meditation or ask any question? Make full use of this condition to ask question. Otherwise, you won't learn. Anything that you're not sure, you can ask. Yes, Li Hun, use the mic. Where is the mic? Here got one. Johnson. Where is the other one? Oh, okay. Must on that one.
Brother Dio.
Yes.
Coming back to the funeral,
yes.
This question.
Yes.
How do I explain to my son, who was very unhappy with me for not going back to attend his grandmother's funeral, as he says that he asked me this question, don't you think that the solidarity of the family, or the support to the family this during this grieving time, more important than your group retreat?
Okay, very good question. You see, Dhamma is not there. Dhamma is about understanding. Understand? You can write back to your son and explain to him. You say, Mom is not here to argue with you on right and wrong. I respect you for what you are. You have your views. You have your understanding now. To you, you think this is very important. Family come first, solidarity, support, all those things. Very logical. But what if people will do it to you? Do you like that? I already told you last time, it's the same example. Just like what he has gone through. When he finished his form 5, he wanted to go to uni. He was given a scholarship to do medicine. But he rejected it because that is not what he wanted. At that time, why don't he say the same thing? For the sake of family, solidarity, respect to parents, I yield to my father's request. Because your husband was very unhappy with his decision. Because the scholarship for medicine is very difficult to get by. He got it free. Now he doesn't want to study that course. He wants to go to UK and spend a lot of money on another course. The father.
He got a scholarship in UK. He wants to do something easier.
I know. But also on your own money, father and mother scholarship, no more. So the thing is, what I'm trying to say is, if he had applied the same principle that he applied to you, means how would he feel? His life, he decided, he wanted something else because it's his future, asana. So similarly, you tell him, my life, let me decide, asana. I am what I am, I understand what I'm doing, but I'm not trying to explain to you, no point, because you may not understand. Because you ask me to compare. What is there to compare? It's not about choosing who over who, understand? It's the understanding. Death means what? Consciousness separate, no one die. Feel piety means what? When they alive, I take care of them. Wish your husband, no, understand? You spend so much time with your mother-in-law, you supported her, and she felt so good when you were around there. You did so many things for her. And these are filial piety, because filial piety is from the heart, not outwardly what you do after they die, understand? That one is of not much meaning, just to show people, wow, all the daughter-in-law came back, all the children came back. Then what will happen? Last year, Thailand trip, I'm the son, number two. I didn't go back, my wife didn't go back, my children also didn't go back. So, does it mean my own mother? No, not my mother-in-law. No. So, if people don't understand, they will say, ayoh, this child don't have filial piety, so arrogant. Dharma friend more important than mother. If you talk like that, it's the worldly people's view, understand? Dhamma is not at a form level, because my mom understood everything that I explained to her after my dad passed away 8 years ago. So the condition already set, and she already told me, follow the Dhamma way when the time come to her funeral. No need to burn all those things like what she did for my father. No need to follow tradition anymore. And he lived until such an old age, a lot of joy. And I already told my brother and sister what to do. So when I call my brother and sister, they understood. They say, no problem. Then I say, you all know what to do. Well, when my father's died, I went back and do everything, show it to them. Then they understand. Then their faith become very strong. Because I said, not all those money that you spend on burning paper house and all those things, these are traditional belief. This has got no tangible impact or implication. If you want to really do something for dad and mom, you make offering on their behalf, donation, etc. And I say, my spiritual trip to Thailand is like meant to be. If my mom had passed away after that, then she missed everything, because we can't do anything. Or in between also, is something. But it's exactly the day before I fly, Asana. And I knew the condition behind, because there were some who came for the trip not meant to. There are karmic obstruction to block. And there were so many of them. But I understood nature's law. So I know what to do. That's why for me, my nature supersede all this condition, because I knew it's meant to be. So if you have the Dhamma, everything will unfold beautifully. That's why when we were there, everything turned out so beautiful. Remember? So that is what Dhamma is all about. Not about the thought that attached. I can tell you, any worldly being under my circumstances would have cancelled the trip and just tell you all to go ahead. Because Cindy and Mosit is there, and most of them have gone with me before they know what to do. But then, my understanding is different. The trip is meant to be, because Anandagiri, the condition unfold in a very unique way. And every sign points towards a beautiful happening. So whatever that arises, initially is like bad sign, people say. Understand? But if you don't perceive it with negativity, you perceive it with wisdom, then it becomes a wholesome thing, understand? Then you have to explain to your children, mom doesn't want you to understand what I explain. I only want you to respect me for what I am, because I'm your mom, understand? I can tell you what to do. You want to follow tradition. But you as a son, you must respect me for what I am. My life, let me decide. Deep inside my heart, I know what is will of my deed. Understand? I don't want to argue with you over right and wrong. Understand? So my life involving my decision, you let me decide. Just like what happened to you. If we force you to, because of family solidarity, you must give up what you want to do. Do you like it? Let's say he wants to get married somebody. No. Father object. Mother object. For solidarity, don't marry her. You think he will be very happy? I said, it cannot be that way. His life, let him decide. You can only advise. And then you tell your son, I appreciate what you have done. Your advice is noted, understand? I have considered all this because I have the Dhamma, I understand what is going on. Like you say, for the harmony and the peace that you want before the retreat, you don't want to go back there and listen to all those things, understand? Then get dragged into all those gossip and all those things, then the crying and also the ceremony. That one is not for people who understand anymore, understand? So you go back and you don't cry, and everybody cry. What happened? Again, they complain. Understand? So what is crying? Crying is expressing their sorrow, trying to project that you are filled by the. When they die, only you cry. That is not filled by the. Understand? Why do you have to cry, especially if they die at the age of 98? Understand? My mother passed away at the age of 89. She already told me bonus already, ever since the age of 80. He said she never want to go beyond such long life. Because he said, he used the Hakka word, he said, old already, very useless, he said, this body. She also know, no? She literally, no? He said, lo long mo yung, he said, this body don't use. Because giving her a lot of problems, you know, rheumatism here and there, cannot walk fast, the heart palpitating, you know. Then, although he experienced all this, but do you know he's very healthy or not? At the age of 89, before he died, he's still mobile. He still do everything himself. He still bathe himself, eat, walk, do everything himself. No dependency. That is the extent of health she has. She can still travel from Alastair to PJ, KL, and go back, no problem. Go to supermarket, put her on a wheelchair, she can still laugh, very happy. And a few months before she passed away, my daughter got a wedding. He was full of joy. So the photo, the video all there, and she was so happy. July, end of July, last year my daughter got married. Then she passed away in November, about 3-4 months later. So that was the life she lived, so happy. She looked forward to that wedding because she looked after my daughter from young until she quite old. So she actually was very proud of that. My two kids make her very proud because they are very good. They excel in their academic. They topped the school. They even broke my record. They topped the uni. And they have scholarship. Then they even did so well in their career. So my mother was very proud of them. Every time he talked about them, he tell my the other brother, your children don't want to let me take care. You see? Second brother one. Oh, so, you all. Because their wife different though. They feel that my mother very old fashioned, no, law saw, so don't want to let the daughter or the children under her care. No. My mother one time complained to me. She said, don't know how they think on it. Mother willing to help them to look after their children also don't want. She said. So my mother said, never mind lah, let them take care lah. Let's see how. Oh, turn out to be their children or. Didn't really have the academic excellence. Then I tell my mother, there is another part, karma. I said, everything is karma. I said, Yeah, you may be the one looking after my children, but they have their karma. Without their karma, you look after us the same. So, finally she understand, because I explained to her. At first she cannot understand. She believed in tradition, feng shui, everything. He said, no, we must do it like that. Because for generation after generation, passed down, everybody do it that way. How can we do one to burn paper house and all those things when my father died? I said, it's okay, we respect you. You want, we burn. And you know what happened at the funeral, very funny. Somehow, the rain come, no? Cannot get to burn. And there was a relative that come, very funny. Elder than my mother, one generation higher. But they are the other, because you know in China, my father is the number one son. So that generation, he number one. So all the other uncle, they all the children are younger one. Although they one generation higher, but they are younger than my mother one. But they one generation higher. So this lady who is a relative came, he tell my mother, no, they also illiterate, is it? What type of funeral is it? Your children, oh, nobody cry, oh, everybody so happy. He said, this type of funeral, if like that, no filial piety, they say, according to tradition, no good. Then he tell my mother, no, ask them to cry. My mother start to cry. Then my mother cried. After that, my youngest brother saw, he know something happened. He quickly come and talk to me. You know. He say, Mom, cry like anything, asking us all to cry. You know. Take the justice. Then I say, don't worry. I talk to her. So I went and held her hand. I say, what happened? My mother trust me a lot. After I held her hand, she still cry. You know. And she tell me this relative say, oh, I say, very good. Now, she tell you, now you listen to what I tell you, okay? Then I explained to her very simple. I said, what is filial piety? I said, dad live a very good life, 80, already very happy. He did what he wants to do. He went back to China, helped the brother, sister, all, everything he did. And he has a lot of kindness. He did his duty very well. Then you remember last year, I said the year before he died, 2003, I decided that year because I knew something is going to happen. I organized one special trip for my whole family, 9 brothers and sisters with all the family member, wife, children, everything. I think almost 50 of us. We make one trip to Hak Kiao Resort in Thailand, a very nice resort. That time my father already on wheelchair, but not very sick yet. So he was full of joy, Chinese New Year. So we had that. I said, you remember? Wow, suddenly my mother no more cry. Yo, he said, father was very happy. Yeah, I remember my dad told my mother in front of me and the other elder brother. He said, this is life, he said. With all the grandchildren, all the children, all the daughter-in-law, whole family complete now that New Year. We had the resort. We wheelchair him on the beach with the breeze, everything. He was so happy. He said, this is what life is. He said, I'm very happy, very contented. And he laughed, he smiled with so much. I said, this is filial piety. Then my mother remember. He said, yeah, that time he very happy. This is filial piety. You think father, if he still can hear us, you think he will be happy if he start crying? I said, no, understand, he want you to be happy. Then I say, do you know the one who advised you, you look at his family, are they successful? Oh, all of them got problem, some drug and all those things. And financially also very, very difficult. Then not much education. I say, you want to follow her advice, do all the Thai or tradition, your family will become like her. Then my mother look at me. He said, like that one. Then why you want to follow her? I said, you look at our family, what we do. We are the envy of a lot of people in our village, you know. When we started, my father was very poor, you know. But ever since I graduated, I bring back honor to the family, my other brother and sister, or I am number two. They have faith, they have confidence, they also become very successful. End of the day, everyone become very successful, whether educated or not educated. So I told my mom, this is understanding, this is the Dhamma way. Oh, then after that, like that, okay lah, no need. Then you know what happened, he said, the Chai Ko, chanting on, he said, must have lah, he said, this one, because all the ancestors, everyone also do. I say, up to you, you are the mother, we respect you. So he go and call the Chai Ko come. She already knew them one last time. My grandmother's time used the same one. So this time they have increased their charges and fees so high, my mother didn't know. No. My mother still think about 20, 30 years ago where they charged only 1,000, 2,000. The bill came almost 8,000. My mother look at it, my mother get angry. I want to talk to them. You know what the Chai Ko tell her? No? He said, you want your husband to go to hell? This one also can negotiate. Aiyoh, like that, tell my mother. After that, my mother very angry. Okay, from that day onward, he said, when my time come, don't do it that way. He say, do it Buddhist way. Because I told him, we invited the Buddhist for share. The Kedah got a Mahayana Buddhist society and a Tsuji, where they come and chant for you free one. Up to you to donate and give ang pao or what one. They will come on. I say, this one, the music so nice, transfer merit, share merit, they chant the tapicho. You know what is tapicho or not? Great compassionate mantra. You know what are you chanting or not? You pay homage to the 84 manifestation of Kuan Yin. It's in the kitchen there. 84 of them. These are the great existence that she came before. So when you chant that, they are all full of love and compassion and wisdom. That's why that tapicho invoke the spiritual cultivation of this 84 great bodhisattva. Understand? Her manifest. That's why it has its power. So because of that, all the understanding slowly, slowly filter in. Then my brother, sister, they also learn. Oh yeah, this is the way to talk. Otherwise, under tremendous pressure, no, you cannot go against one. If all the uncles start telling you all these things, because they are higher generation and the pressure is so strong for you to do. Just like my wife, the father, my father-in-law, under tremendous pressure, no, because my mother-in-law was so sick in the hospital. You know what the uncle and brother-sister of my mother-in-law said? Why you are sent to government hospital? Should go private hospital. I said, you all don't treasure what her life is. Then my father-in-law was desperate, you know, want to send, but private hospital is so expensive, you know. No? So you know what they did? They pressure him until he break down. You know? Then I tell my wife very simple. You see, I really very happy to hear that you all are so keen to help your sister. Now we have checked private hospital. Stay 2 weeks, do go through the operation, 40,000. Can we have some donation? Talk about donation, everybody run away. This is the reality of life. Then what happened was, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law decide to send. So you know what happened? We chip in money. But mainly because my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law, there's another brother-in-law, they have their EPF money where they can withdraw. So they withdraw the EPF money. And just 2 weeks, you know, 40,000 gone. Then someone didn't solve the problem. So what happened? Finally, because my wife is a government servant, it's free. So send back to GH. Luckily send back to GH and UH. That is where she had her treatment and she lived on for many, many more months before she passed away. That's why reality and talking is different. As a talking, no need money. Talk about money, everybody run. This is the reality of society. Yes? So when you have the Dhamma, you don't have to worry about what they say and what they do. You just do what is right. Yes? So for your case, it's very simple, isn't it? You just have to explain, yeah, my life, let me decide. Understand? Respect me for what am I. Likewise, I respect you for what you are. So you can resolve all this amicably. Otherwise, what happens? That's why I told Li Hun, I said, don't try to be right. Don't go and explain and bombard him. you will create more misunderstanding because they are so young. They are so insistent and vocal. Well, to them, this is their view, their conditioning, understand? They have been conditioned into that type of mentality. So he is what he is. We respect him for what he is. So we thank him for the advice. But my life, let me decide, understand? Likewise, your life, you decide. I only advise you. And then we resolve things amicably, understand? Then we can move. And this is Noble Eightfold Path. No wrong view, no wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood, understand? Everything is wholesome. This is how you resolve. Okay? Any meditation question? Yeah? You better ask Dhamma a meditation question. Anybody who did any reflection, contemplation, and have any good experience or question that you want to ask? Actually, I was quite happy. I went one round to just look around, and I just enjoy my walk. I just relax. Then I saw quite a lot up there. Some sitting underneath the tree, some sitting underneath the shade, some walking, and there's another one walking over down here. There were quite a number, quite seriously cultivating. This is how you can really diligently develop the cultivation and progress. Then you make use of this window to cultivate your mindfulness so that you can have this continuity of sustained mindfulness. Is very useful. If you are not able to do it, then you waste your time here, understand? There are time to talk, there are time to discuss issue or things, but try your best to make use of the time to cultivate. So if you want to do it, also do it mindfully, understand? With understanding. You want to go for a bath, no problem. You want to go for a rest, no problem. But walk mindfully. Do everything naturally, mindfully, then rest, be aware, be mindful. Then as you walk around, as you contemplate the nature, there are so many things that you can actually experience. Like one of the lady told me, now she see with awareness is so different from the one last time using the thought and the perception. According to her, like the image become clearer and bigger, bigger, she says, bigger. Last time very small. So I told her, not bigger, it's clearer. There is more clarity, you understand? Then I give her the example because I remember our pre-trip we came. We stay in this apartment high up on the hill. Then from there, we can see, like on our hilltop here, we can see the whole of the cloud formation, the skyline, the nature, the beautiful forest vegetation, then the colonial buildings, all the city building, then even the cars moving down there, everything. And so it dawned upon me, one of the wisdom that I developed through my contemplation. I used to like high altitude, and I used to reflect, contemplate, and I just silent my mind and aware. Then all this understanding came. You see, when you are high up, your horizon is higher. You can see a bigger horizon, greater. You can see everything that is in front of you, above you, and below, understand? So that higher consciousness, that awareness, allow you a wider horizon. That's why you can understand what is going on. Then let's say you look down at the road there. Let's say there is a bend, okay? Or into the sea. From far, you can see these two approaching car. They cannot see each other, but they are on collision course, understand? Maybe one truck and all those things. Like that day, one truck block, all become one lane, the jam, understand? So from far you can see already potential accident. But the people driving the car or the truck, they don't know, understand? Why? They are at a lower horizon, lower consciousness, because they are at the road level, understand? Road level means what? you are busy driving, thinking, looking around, and it's like everything within that horizon, everything above you, you don't know, you're not aware, understand? That's the difference between the higher consciousness and the lower consciousness. That's why sometimes the deva, they can see, because they are in the higher consciousness, they can know your thought, it's conditioned, this thought thing is going to happen. So sometimes if they have affinity with you, they come and tell you in your dream, understand? He said, be careful, because they heard maybe somebody is scheming and trying to do bad things to you. So they will come and tell you in your dream, understand? Before you wake up. So during that time, you have the cultivation, it's like the sign come, understand? Your awareness can know. Then sometimes it's time to move. Then special being will come, understand? Then sometimes it's time to share something, special being will come and make the request. And all this you will know, but you need to have the cultivation and the nature connected, otherwise you cannot. So all this is the meaning of higher consciousness. When you have the spiritual understanding and training, you have this ability. So the people busy living at the road level consciousness on this, they only every day getting what they call getting themselves stressed out, work out, driving, tired, horning here and there, impatient and all those things, because they are in the midst of a lot of activity at that level. So much so they don't know what is happening in the higher horizon, the higher realm. So a lot of things in life is the same. When you are caught in your own world of thought, you are worse than the one at the car level. At least the car level still deal with other things outside. You are caught with your own thinking inside. And through your own thinking, you make yourself miserable, fearful, worried. Is that the way to live life? You use thought wrongly. Understand? Keep on arising the wrong thought, the deluded thought, to torment yourself, to create your own misery and suffering, your fear, worry, anxiety. Why do you do that? You're supposed to reflect, contemplate on right thought, the Dhamma. That's why the Dhamma brings about joy, understanding, freedom, peace, as opposed to the heedless living that condition the wrong thought, that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, and suffering and misery. Which do you choose? You decide yourself. A lot of human beings doesn't know how to choose because they don't understand this teaching. Understand? If they know this teaching, they will never do evil, I tell you. They will train their mind to be hateful. Okay? So that is one part. Okay, you don't have any more questions. You got any written question? Stephanie is here. Where is Stephanie? Oh, Stephanie not around. The paper for them to write question. Who is keeping it? Stephanie. Yeah. Oh, at the back there. The back. The red bag at the back. You can go and take your pen and your paper. And you want to write, you can write. This one, where is Ingby? Pass to Ingby. She asked me to write. Okay.
Can I just share something?
Can.
Quite many of us went up to the building up there. It's a very nice place.
Yes.
A couple of things happened. On the way back, Brother Teo is talking about higher consciousness.
Yeah.
So on the way back, I was walking back and there was this beetle, I think it's bigger than the thumb. And it was, I think it must be lost or something, trying to walk into a building. So I said, hopefully I did the right thing and I read the right thing. So the beetle seems to me like it's lost.
So you will know, your nature will know.
So I put it on the paper and send it back to the grass.
Yeah. Very good.
So it's very much like the higher consciousness,
somebody else
sending us on the right.
So that is very good, very wholesome. Then just now I forgot, the lady that talked to me about the way she see with awareness now and compared to last time using perception and thought. She said she went to the fishes, the pond there. And you know what she did? She just radiated metta from the heart and from the awareness. You know, whatever, all the fishes suddenly come to her, gather and open their mouth like got food to eat. I say not got food to eat, because you know how fish become more sensitive than you? They don't think. They they don't have thought that is developed until so complex, understand? So cutting, so self-centered, understand? So full of sakayaditi. So because of that, they use their senses, understand? They swim freely, use their senses, where they are not evolved consciousness-wise. They don't go to school. They don't have all this conditioning influenced by the newspaper, where they only live naturally. So when they use their senses, it's like you don't think. When you don't think, you are sensitive. That's why when people radiate metta, they feel. That's why when you have metta, the dog also can feel you, the animal, the insect, the non-human, they can feel you. Because they are not like human being. Human being, I tell you, because of technology, they use too much thought, too much thinking. You see, thought has its purpose, understand? Not? You know what Sakyamuni advised? Thought, you must use it like a tool correctly. That's why he talked about right thought under Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought. So thought is not for you to simply use to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and harm others, understand? Not? So if you know how to use thought, then you use it for the good of the many, understand? Not? When do you use thought? Yeah? When you want to learn a language, yeah? The science, yeah? The technology, knowledge, you use thought, understand? Not? That's why thought is for knowledge, understand? Not? But human beings' problem is they haven't developed the spiritual understanding, understand? Not? They go too fast in the technological field, understand? Not? They are very, very fast in technology. It's just like nuclear bomb, honestly. How does it come out? The scientists that discover E equals MC squared Einstein never think of nuclear bomb, honestly. He just want to break through in science and tell you there is technology. Then some smart guy say, oh, this is energy, man. Means I can develop nuclear bomb. Then the cunning fellow use it for selfish purpose, want to control the world. That's why the weaponry trade started, understand? So thought is not meant for psychological thing, understand? Thought is meant for knowledge, understand? To understand something that bring about what they call understanding, means like the science, the arts, or the maths or arithmetic or language, or even humanity. A lot of study you can use thought, understand? But thought is not meant for you to develop the psychological problem, understand? Not? When you use thought psychologically, you get yourself in big trouble. You know what is psychological? Not? Psychological means the mental part, understand? The emotion part, understand? Not? You go and use thought to store up your fear, your worry, your anxiety, all of your, what they call, bad experience, or they call the scars of memory. Then what happened? You go and think and recall and become fearful, become miserable. Then you go and use thought wrongly, keep on arising this type of wrong thought. That's how you get into trouble. Understand? Not? Psychologically, don't use thought. Understand? Not? No meaning, because thought, through words and concept, create division. And division create a lot of what they call conflict, misunderstanding, argument. And this is a source of suffering. Because you divide and you want to use thought to continue your life. You create one word, race, break, divide into so many different races. Religion, again, divide. That's why people continuously argue non-stop, understand? Then they say, oh, nationality, you Malaysian, I Indonesian, he's a Westerner. Then within Malaysia, you break into race among. That's why you get a lot of racial problem and issue. So thought has this power to divide. That's why Krishnamurti said, you must see clearly and understand the danger of thought, the limitation of thought, how thought divide and create all the division that create all the confusion for you to grasp, cling and hold. So thought need to be understood. Don't simply use it. If you use it wrongly, for the wrong purpose, then You don't blame people for your suffering and misery. That's why meditation is to see all this, understand? To understand how the thought come to be. How within the thought there is the content of consciousness that make you feel, perceive, react, create all those subtle, or what they call wrong view, that condition you to grasp and cling to so many things that you create and give meaning through your own thought. So wisdom can only arise when you start to understand yourself. That's a self-knowledge is important in spiritual field. If you don't even know who you are and what you are, then the question I ask you is, who is living your life? You don't even know who you are and what you are, then who is living your life? The form and mind is living your life, understand? Through what? Through thought. So thought control you, understand? You have a conscience, but you cannot make decision because you become emotional and thought take over, understand? That's why you got a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, because you gullibly cling, hold, thinking this is you. Like how I explained to Danny. When you think this is you, the body, the physical, what happened? You worry about you getting old, getting sick and dying there. And this is sakkāyadiṭṭhi, wrong view with regards to this atta, this self. So if you don't have sakkāyadiṭṭhi, such thing won't happen. Understand? So, Dhamma is understanding, nothing else. When you understand through your own meditation, through your own awareness of how things come to be, how you are conditioned into delusion, how the evil root condition you into suffering, then you understand why the Buddha said they are root of all evil. So I must not have selfishness, I must not have lust, craving, I must not have anger, emotional negativity, ill will, I must not have fear. Because these are the evil root of all evil, make me very evil. And then I understand why the Buddha said I must have right view to arise the right thought. When I have right thought, no evil root, everything I do will be right, understand? All my actions, speech and thought and the way I live my life will be right. So that is how Noble Eightfold Path solve your problem. Enable you to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, leading to enlightenment. Okay? Okay, any more meditation? Yes. Dihun. Danny, yes.
Virtue. I just want to know whether I'm on the right track in this meditation practice. Ever since I asked you the question yesterday evening on where the mind is, as previously due to the Vipassana practice, I found it to be extremely stressful in trying to note everything.
Correct.
Very, very stressful.
Yeah.
After talking to you yesterday, I switched to, as I understand from what you tell me, that the mind consciousness arises from this point here.
Yeah, the heart. Yeah.
So I tried to switch it there. After calming down my mind, I found that, of course, the heartbeat is very prominent.
Oh, sadhu. Right. You can feel it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, very good. It means you have natural mindfulness.
Yes. And
you only couldn't realize it, listener, because you were not silent last time. You actively in the head. Your head is noting.
Okay.
Your head is the thought. good.
For the first time, I also realized that I could actually feel, I'm aware of the arising of fear.
Correct. Yes. The emotion. Yes, sadhu. That is very good. That's why when you silent and stay at the heart, this one just aware, no thought. But split second, it will come out here. You know why? Because you have been doing this for umpteen years as a habitual condition. But if you learn to stay here more and more from the heart, you realize because it's further away from the brain, you don't think so much. You know why? Like I mentioned yesterday, the moment you aware, stay here, that habitual thinking momentum, break. Once the momentum break, to stop that movement again, you need a stronger force, understand not? A stronger heedless thinking, understand not? So if you continuously break the thing with awareness, more and more, more and more, until that momentum fails to move, then suddenly you realize you have become more heedful. Then the heedlessness will lose its power, because when you are more heedful, this becomes a new way of living. This becomes your new habitual tendency, your new way of developing your mind. And then it will start to counter all those hindrances. Then the spiritual faculty will come out. Then your mind will transform. Then you realize, hey, so easy to live heedfully. Not like last time. If I stay at the heart, I feel peace, joy, and I'm more sensitive. I can feel what is going on, moving inside. And so, last time you cannot feel. That's why when you have the awareness, you are sensitive. Sensitive, not the negative context of sensitivity. A lot of people don't understand. The guy very sensitive. Means small thing also irritable. Not that type of sensitivity. Sensitive means you are sensitive to what is going on in the surrounding, understand? Then you can feel for people, like Sui An feel for the beetle, understand? Not only beetle get lost. I told you last year, I told some of you last year, I think they were with me, some of them know. We were at Anandakiri, there was a katina, Dana and a katina. Then there were a lot of food. Then they attracted some flies, you know, no? Then one of the flies went into the soup, you know, get entangled inside there, you know. Then I saw, you know, then all those at the side also very kanchong. Oh, the fly going to die. I said, don't worry. I get the tissue paper, I slowly. Because my mind was silent, calm. I bring it up. Then that fly stick, still wet, on the tissue paper. And you know what happened? When I put it on another cloth, the water like soaked down. Then this fly can fly now. And the first thing the fly did was what now? He fly to me, like very safe on my hand. Then I can feel there is no more fear when he was on my hand. Then I say, okay, go. Then only the fly off. They will feel you. They know you help them. Yeah, they can feel your stillness, your energy, your love, your compassion. And this is the Dhamma, understand? When you are busy thinking, the fly don't know. The fly think you try to harm them. So you do it, then you will know. And there are many, many things that happen. I cannot tell you all, because a lot of things already 20, 30 years ago, but my wife know. More or less, more than 50, 60% of what happened, I used to tell her. And only she heard about it. Of course, some I share with you all. That time when the thing happened to me, when I go through the transformation, I tell you, the thing that happened, nobody believe on. You think it's like fairy tale. Really like fairy tale. Oh, you say, this thing happened. He said, crazy. Fairy tale also not so fantastic, more fantastic than fairy tale. The people you meet, the people you encounter, and the way things happen, is totally beyond the mundane mind that can understand. And the thing I experience and see, book also never write on. And a lot of cultivators also don't understand on. I mean, it's the reality. So a lot of people used to ask me, what do you mean? Monk also cannot understand. I say, I don't know, you ask them. Maybe some good one, they understand. Because when I explain the five aggregate, he say, you are the first people who tell me this thing. They only know the name, the five aggregate. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sangra, Vijnana. Nobody explain what the thing is. Seldom you got explanation. And they only repeat the Dhamma. But they don't know how to link to how it actually works inside your mind and how it's linked to life. They cannot link. Not only that, the Dhamma, they can't even link the teaching, understand? All the various teaching that the Buddha teach, to them is like separate teaching, understand? But actually, it's all one, complete, understand? Not? All connected. That's why I show it to you, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, from the right view, the Buddha's advice, then Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, they are all connected to meditation and the four. All are linked together. It's only when you see the whole thing, the whole zigzag puzzle, then you know how to link. Understand? Otherwise, you are like the different horizon. You are at the root level, you only talk about the root thing. Up there one, you cannot connect. But you can see from the higher horizon, the overall, then you know they are all connected. Understand? Then you realize, once the zigzag puzzle is in place, normal human being can understand. Understand? But the picture is there. But the problem nowadays, very few people can put that picture very clearly in front of you, understand? And it actually is very simple. The Buddha's teaching is very simple. You know why you most human beings cannot understand? Their mind is too complex. They think a lot. They create a lot of what they call wrong view. You have to them, they say, cannot be so simple. Wow, so simple, all enlightened already. Oh. Understand? That is what they think. Then they say, not for me, lah, cannot. Lah. If you have this type of attitude, how to cultivate, how to develop the understanding? Because you don't have the faith, understand? Lah. Then you make it complicated because you think it must be something very difficult. Understand? Lah. Then when people tell you it's so simple, cannot be. Lah. Monk also never talk, book also never write. Who are you? You are a lay person. But now I ask you that question again. All along, anybody explain to you what sati is or not? Mindfulness. They only tell you to note. But they never explain what that sati is. So sati is very easy. Sati is awareness, mindfulness, before the knowing. Means what? When I don't think, when I don't arise the thought, when I don't arise the aggregate of mind, I am with my true nature, true mind, I am aware, understand? That is the mind, without thought. That's why there is clarity, understand? So to be mindful, you don't need to learn. You just have to silence, don't talk, no chattering. Then you are already mindful. Why must you try to be mindful, learn to be mindful, practice to be mindful, understand? All this is not required. You only need to understand why are you not mindful. Where you think a lot, there's a lot of hindrance. So you need to reverse all this. Before you reverse all this, you just say, oh, I only need to silence, like Brother Teo said. You try, cannot do. Because you have been so heedless for so long, like a boy, a kid, your child. Every day run out and play, suddenly you tell, boy, don't play. What happened? That guy would rebel, I tell you. Understand? So you need to slowly decondition, tell him this is not suitable for you. Change him to another environment where he don't have so much friend. And then start to train him. And then only he start to understand the beauty of not running out and use his time fruitfully to study, to build up his career, to build up his future and all those things. Otherwise he go out and do all the funny things. So life is the same. That's why with understanding, it makes a big difference to one's life. Okay? So coming back to Danny's question, did I answer you?
Subsequent to this,
the next question is,
what is the danger and how to control it?
What is the what?
What
would
be the danger that I'll be always trying to...
Okay.
Trying to find
It's very simple. You see, meditation is understanding. When you understand what I try to explain to you, you try to reflect and contemplate. Based on what I have said and written on the notes, maybe I read this part for the benefit of those who just came in, like Mr. Kang and Mrs. Kang. The note on the anonymous, first to 4th of May. Go to the paragraph at the bottom, understanding what is true mindfulness and heedfulness. I read this, you will understand. As opposed to thought-based meditation, This is awareness or mindfulness based meditation. So this one can follow or not? Yeah? Thought based means what? Using your thought to cultivate. Understand or not? Awareness based means what? Sati. Mindfulness to cultivate. As opposed to the thought based meditation, this is awareness or mindfulness based meditation that can lead to seeing things as they are. Understand or not? What is seeing things as they are? Direct seeing. Seeing the reality, the truth. Understand or not? Not what your thought tell you. Understand or not? Not what your views and opinion condition you to believe, hold on to it, and react to it. Understand or not? So this is a big difference. So this type of direct seeing is very useful. Seeing things as they are, without the interference of thought. Understand or not? Your thought don't come and interfere. Don't come and label it. Understand or not? Give it a name and a concept. And then the thing arise already. Then the aggregate come out already. Understand? Then you no longer aware. You are preoccupied with that. Understand? That is how you lost your awareness. So during that moment, you cannot see the truth. But if you are silent and just aware, without the conditioning from the thought, then you see things as they are. And as you continue to stabilize that mindfulness and continue to be aware, no need to know anything, what I tell you. No need to read anything also. You just continue to be aware. Then you will understand the truth. That's why a lot of illiterate one, waiting, six patriarch, he no education, he don't know the Dhamma one. But he hear the truth, he enlightened already. Understand not? Enlightenment is about the nature awakening to it. So the exact same thing will happen. You only need to be silent, aware. Then the direct seeing means you see things as they are. If your thought don't interfere, when there is stability of mindfulness and when there is condition for it to arise, the mind suddenly will insight or awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta, or impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. And this will happen automatically on its own. Then the next paragraph explains further. This lady who anonymous that wrote this is a fictitious writer created by me. At first I thought the noting of mental intention that I used to do at other retreat was mindfulness. I was doing it without understanding. That's why you see or not. I never say wrong, correct or not? You only do it without understanding. What mindfulness or sati is then? After listening attentively to Bradio and reading through his rather clear and simple Dhamma note given to us, I was able to understand what mindfulness or sati really is. Then I was able to cultivate with understanding, confidence and ease. This must be your ability. Understand not? That's why you need understanding. Try to contemplate, reflect and understand first, then do. Then you will know. To be in a relaxed state of silent inner awareness, to experience the moment, can or not? Relaxed state of silent inner awareness, mean without thought, without chattering, to experience this moment. You find out, this moment without thought, am I peaceful? Is there fear? Is there worry? Is there? If I don't think, I am peaceful. I am in my natural state. I am only aware. Understand? That's why that peace, the stillness, the silence will be experienced. Understand? This type of consciousness you seldom have, because you always have the evil root inside. Understand? Because you have duality. You have your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant reaction, point of your views and your opinion. So, based on this, to be in a relaxed state of silent inner awareness, to experience the moment without any reaction or movement of thought, is true sati. Anasana. When you are with the moment without arising the thought to react, means what? You are aware, sati. That's no word, no concept. Means you are aware of whatever that is, the reality. Anasana. Sitting as they are. Not as a word or a concept or a label. Do you know when you look at this microphone, huh? Because you use the word microphone, do you know what happened or not? Huh? You see the concept, you never see this microphone. You never really look. Even flower. The moment you say flower, you don't look already. Oh, flower. But the concept makes the image, and you look at the image. Then, of course, if it's colorful, attractive, you're, oh, beautiful. But what is beauty to you? Beauty to you is the colorful thing. But the dead flower can also be very beautiful. You know? You look at it with clarity and with awareness. The intrinsic, pristine beauty of every phenomena, everything that arises in nature is so beautiful. The pristine stillness, the pristine beauty of what it is. When you see things as they are, it's totally very different. Well, you really see without the words and the heart. Well, you see with attentiveness, with all the detail of whatever you see. And there is so much beauty in all these things. So much joy. Because all this you were never able to see previously. Well, you see with the words, the concept, the image. The image of the microphone is not the microphone, you know. If I ask you a few details, you will never know. Because you never look around, understand? Then you roughly, yala microphone. Ask you to draw? Cannot remember. You can only draw the shape out. But those who really see, they see the color, the ring. Then this paper that I put in. Then if I pull it out, you will see all this. Understand? Not with the words. So the real seeing, the direct seeing, is without word, without concept. Before the knowing. So mindfulness is that way, understand not? So when you understand, then it is very easy. So that's why I define it here. It is just the silent mind with inner awareness before the knowing or the arising of thought. Can understand not? It's very clear now. It's like, if I don't think, I'm aware, understand not? So why I need to try to be aware? I only need to know that the moment I stop thinking, I'm already aware, understand? So I must learn to be silent more and more, more and more. That's why I say you try not to talk. Not to say I want to force you into silence, understand? No, it's for you, understand? That's why you talk, you chat, you make whatever coffee, it's your life, your decision. I never say it's right or wrong. I never say, hey, don't talk, understand? The only time I try to tell you not to talk is when you are in the kitchen the first day, remember? I go in, I say, shh, because it reflects on the group where we are in another people's place. And it's not for me, it's for your image and reputation. So that in future, people come and apply under SJBA, they loan us that title, the monk will not say, SJBA, oh, cannot lah. Last time that group come, the way they behave. Ah, then, how am I answer to Sui An? This is what that come to my mind. That's why I try to say something. Otherwise, I don't want to interfere in anything. But life is like that. You are not alone in this world. You have to be sensitive to others. Others think differently, act differently. They don't know who you are. So, what society demands, sometimes we have to be sensitive, understand? That's why we have to play our role. That's why in my notes, I already write, you must respect this place for what it is, understand? And you must arise a sincerity to cultivate at this retreat, so that you will keep to the noble silence. Otherwise, for me, you know, I never want to insist anything. That's why I say it's not rigid. Okay? So we go on. It is just the silent mind with inner awareness before the knowing or the arising of thought. To be in a relaxed state of silent inner awareness, to experience the moment without any reaction or movement of thought is true sati. You can only do one thing at a time. So you have to understand that when you are silent, means mentally silent, then you are already in sati. Otherwise, you are heedlessly lost in thought. Meaning, you are preoccupied with all the thinking and reaction of mind without any inner awareness at all. So heedfulness or apamada means to use the silent mind with inner awareness to cultivate the Buddha Dharma, to develop the wisdom via the direct seeing, to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, anatta. So heedfulness is the combination of stability of mindfulness and the cultivation of the Buddha Dharma to awaken. So that is heedfulness. So to be heedful, you need to develop the understanding of how to train your mind. Huh? Just give me a minute. Sorry about the interruption. Huh? Today I need to maintain my phone. Today is an office day. Some important issue, they could call me. Otherwise, they won't call me. Huh? So this one is my classmate, very close friend, very good friend. So there are certain things he wants me to do on Monday. It's okay. Okay, I continue. Huh? Oh, I finish. Huh? So Danny, do you now quite understand? There is no danger as long as you continue to develop the silent mind. You can try to stay at the heart because it's away from the head. Less tendency to think. Understand? But from here to the head, split second it come out already. Understand? The moment you go to the head and create a thought, you are not at the heart. Understand? That's why your awareness is gone. Because you are preoccupied with what you think. Then that sense experience condition you into like and dislike. The sensual desire, ill will, hindrance come to be. That's why you're no longer peaceful. You are preoccupied with all this sense experience. To be peaceful is not affected by anything. No like, no dislike. No pleasant and unpleasant feeling, just aware. That's why awareness is so beautiful. When you are just aware without thought, there is no fear, nothing, no selfishness, no evil root, nothing. You are just silent, peaceful. And when you can stabilize that, oh, that is the beautiful mind. That's why you can enter into stillness, tranquility, paucity. That's why the mind can become so beautiful. That is what they call the factor of enlightenment of piti and paucity. Then that mind is creative, able to understand because it has clarity. So you just continue to be silent and aware. That's it. Body and mind move as one. Then when your mindfulness is so stable, not only you are able to be mindful internally at your bodily action and movement, suddenly one day you realize, hey, your mind is like with everything you perceive in yourself, all of nature. Whatever that comes within your field of perception or vision or hearing, is the mind is in sati. The mind flow with it. The mind never think anymore, it just flow. Then you want to understand, it arises a thought. That this mind listen to you. Want to think, only think. Want to perceive, only perceive. Otherwise it's just silent. That's why most of the time it's silent, it's aware. Right now I silent. Then all your movement and phenomenal activity, I can see, I can feel, because I am sensitive inside. So there are many things. Well, you all walk up there, how many of you realize that there was chanting, Amitabha chanting inside one of the building? How many of you hear it? Quite a number. Yeah, record that one, yes. At the pagoda, Daya Pagoda, the small building. Then as you walk down, how many of you hear the very clear flowing stream and all those things? There are some who hear. Then how many insect sound? Bird chirping. So many of them. And they were so beautiful. The melody, the vibration. This morning, breakfast, after that I came out, I stand here, I was like, oh, the bird was so happy. They were chirping everywhere. And so many of them. Then as I move out, the insect sound, the vibration, the whole of this nature here is so beautiful. And the weather was also very good, because yesterday was just nice, quite cooling. Then today the sun came up. So won't be so cold today, but just nice. Then evening, hopefully it's cloudy again. So this is how nature is. So with that, does it answer your question?
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Actually, you all may laugh, but this is what I was told by some wrong advice. Look for the mind is here, look for it, look for it.
Cannot look.
You may laugh, but I think a lot of people have been giving this kind of advice.
Never mind. What they teach, what they advise, based on their understanding. Understand? So there is no right, no wrong. Because at different stage of understanding, you will see different things. Understand? Can. Manyuan, behind you. Pass it over. Very good.
The last trip, we came up with Brother Joe to check out the place. I didn't have the time to actually feel the place. This time I did, especially just now, up in the hills, me and Miss Sister Lee. I actually purposely chose a place under the tree.
Yeah, she was the one sitting under the tree.
With the pebbles under my buttock. Because I want to experience it myself and realize for full awareness if I can. When I sit down, I could feel every petal under my body.
Yes.
I put on my chanting MP3 for about 10 minutes to settle down. After that, I can actually feel the sun, the heat of the sun, the breeze, the chirping of the birds, the insects, and the flies on my hands. But if I choose to not feel the heat of the sun, I can, which is quite surprising.
Yeah, sadhu.
And the energy level there is
very strong.
Very strong. Each time when I cut and flow with the energy, there is a slight breeze around the tree area.
Sadhu.
And surprisingly, I don't know where the water comes from. I think it's from the leaves.
They will just give it to you.
The reason why I say this is I thought maybe just to share with you, find a spot, a real spot yeah. the thing that you can mm. get something out.
Very good. Yeah. Sadhu. So when you really give it a try, you will experience all these things because this is Dhamma. When your mind is silent, it's so different. And she is so new. No? She only 1 year plus. And last time you know her, you never believe she will come to Dhamma. Those who know her, she used to tell her her experience during the Thursday class, Sui Ande. When she first came through another Dhamma friend, he said she was a night bird. You know what is a night bird, huh? Come back very late one. Sometimes she says, drunk until you don't even know how she drove back. But reached the house most of the time safely. And a lot of nightmare. And the alcohol, everything. But then when the time comes, suddenly she just moved back to the Dhamma. Then when she understands the importance of heedfulness, you just give up drinking, smoking, just like that. No need to try. Then she just cultivate, and now she's so interested and enthusiastic and so sincere. She started to help people to organize all this. Then she got a lot of affinity with Ajahn Ajahn. That's why a lot of Ajahn Ajahn activities all through her. She communicated direct with Ajahn. And it was during last year trip that impact upon her tremendously. Actually, she went 2 years already. So this is what the Dhamma is. You can be new, no problem. Actually, new, easier. Clean slate, no conditioning, not so complicated. They just listen, they put into test, they understand, they move. Otherwise, you are exposed to too many traditions. They become a view that prevents you from accepting new things. So this is the danger of conditioning, the danger of attachment and clinging to certain practice. Because they didn't understand that the meditation has nothing to do with the method, technique and the teacher. The Dhamma is the Dhamma. The meditation is the meditation is the Dhamma. So Dhamma is the truth. Truth is to be realized. That's it. Not your truth, my truth. There is no method and technique to truth. Method and technique is what? What is a method and a technique? A series of instructions to do things. So you tell me, who is doing? The thought interpret the instruction and do. So can method and technique lead you to enlightenment, beyond thought, beyond mind? Method and technique is just a skillful means to anchor the mind, so that it does not wander off. And then through that, you try to stabilize it into mindfulness. But people don't understand. They cling to the method and technique and gullibly think that if I do that meditation, I am doing meditation. Then some people even go to the extent of telling you that method is vipassana. If you don't do that, there is no vipassana. Then it becomes more and more complicated. Vipassana is not something you do. Vipassana is the two word very clear. Vi is the three characteristics of nature. Passana is to insight into this. So when you need to silence your mind with the direct seeing to insight into this, how can you use thought to do vipassana, to practice vipassana? Anasana. Vipassana is not about practice. Vipassana is about insight into the truth and the reality. Insight means you must have the silent mind to be attentive, to be aware, to insight into it. No interference of thought. No more thinking. No more doing, no more meditator inside there. The meditator is the illusion. The meditator is the thought. How can thought meditate to go beyond thought? Thought has this power to divide and create delusion for you. That's why you have to see beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why the Dhamma is akaliko. Otherwise, the Buddha will not say the Dhamma is akaliko. So these are all the understanding that you can have, you can unfold. Then it can help you along the way. Yeah? There is one more part on contemplation. I just read this so that we can move on. The part on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, I think we already gone through. You go down further. Dhamma contemplation, third paragraph. Dhamma contemplation is best done in a retreat or away place that is very quiet, like a tranquil setting, with a lot of very conducive supporting condition for Dhamma contemplation and wisdom to arise. Just like this temple, where the surrounding nature, the flora, the energies are so conducive for Dhamma contemplation. One just has to be in a natural relaxed state of mind to do this Dhamma contemplation and investigation while standing or walking or sitting in an open or within the vicinity of the surrounding of the temple. So this is what you need to do. Relax, aware and silent. Then everything will come about. When we silent our mind to reflect and contemplate on the beautiful nature within the temple and its surrounding, we will be able to perceive the great stillness energy of the nature within there within our heart. We will also be aware of all the flow of nature, like the swaying of the leaves and the branches of the trees in the forest, the breeze, the beautiful cool and breezy weather, the beautiful cloud formation, the chippings of the birds and the beautiful insects and nature's vibration, the beautiful sight and sound of all the colonial buildings, dead trees, temple chanting, vibration of temple bells, moving cars and flowing stream, etc. When we are silent, it's like our nature, this one very important, the oneness nature. When we are silent, it's like our nature can take them all in. Our heart like open up to embrace them all as the great oneness in pure spacious awareness. That is not caught in thought. Means there is no division, understand? They are all part of you. There is no separation of you and others or outside. Then we can radiate loving kindness and compassion to all living beings and share and transfer merits to them. As we do this contemplation more and more, everything we come to be aware of suddenly like become clear to us, and the arising Dhamma will enable us to develop the wisdom born of Dhamma contemplation. It will just arise and unfold. Because your mind that is silent is creative, understand? Has clarity, can see things so clearly, understand? Then you have inquiry. Then so it will surface, the answer will come out. The creative thought and understanding will come out. We can perceive the phenomenal world so clearly. Now you understand. Phenomenal world means what? Mental consciousness. That's why the phenomenal world of consciousness. Without mind, without consciousness, there is nothing in it. But because you have your senses, you create them through your consciousness, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought. The three major sense organs is the seeing, hearing, and the thinking. These are very active. So these three will allow you to understand how you create the phenomenal world, how the existence come to be, how the thing that you perceive come to be, how they arise, and how when you close your eye, all of the creation gone. That's why what the Buddha say, consciousness is like a great what? The analogy is what? Consciousness is like what? A great magician. It's like a magician that create illusion for you. This moment arise, next moment gone. When you open your eye, what happened? All within your field of vision arise already, created already, like real. You look at all the thing behind, like real, isn't it? Close your eye, whatever. You don't use your memory, it's gone, isn't it? No more. You are a great magician. Then through your hearing, the world of music, sound, vibration, noise, all come to be. Understand? That's why they have this show that talk about the beauty of sight and sound. Understand? So you can experience them all if you have this silent mind, heedful mind. Otherwise, you never experience them. You never know that they exist. Understand? You are so busy thinking, planning and worrying about your life, you got no time to experience them. You don't even have a moment of relaxed, nice music to listen to. How many of you really enjoy listening to music? Unless, yes, very good. Unless she can have the interest and you can afford, you have the time. Means she don't have so much problem. Otherwise, they're too busy running around doing things. They don't even have time to eat sometimes. or be with their loved one. They sacrifice so much, working, chasing after what? Money, reputation, status, and all those things, solving problems. Everywhere also got problems. So life is not like that. Life is to have the understanding to live, so that you can be with the moment, just be with the music, the great vibration. Some of these musicians are very, very beautiful. Some of this music, if you have affinity and you like, they can be very meaningful. When I was young, I liked to listen to classical Chinese music. I don't know, the type of vibration go in very good. Then later on, as I grow up, there are certain music that is very soothing, very beautiful. And I hear, I listen, I know already, because in the past, have developed them, especially the Amitabha chanting. That one, funny, first time I listened 24 years ago, it just went in. Then it chant by itself inside my head. At the back here, there is a part in the brain. The chanting happened by itself. Amitabha, Amitabha, Amitabha. It just keep on going on. Then I realized, hey, what is all this? I never learned this life. But it's there. Because there is affinity, connect. Past life, I've done it before a lot. So that's why it started to come out. That's why I understand what all this is. The clarity. I was with my awareness. I never chant. But up here, chant. Then I was aware. And there is clarity. And when there is clarity, that's why Mahayana cultivation is different. You know why chanting can bring about enlightenment? They just Amitabha, Amitabha. And you know what some of the Theravada used to tell people? They come and report to me. He said, Brother Tio, it's very logical, you know, they say. The Pure Land, just chant the Buddha's name, Kuan Yin's name, can become enlightened. No Noble Eightfold Path, you know. What do you think? Oh, good. Because this is something your nature scared of last time. So now you must really face it and develop the faith to receive it. Where this type of chanting is the spiritual side, the one that has the spiritual understanding. Because for you, I saw your mudra just now morning. Yesterday you did not do, now you do. I saw. So never mind, because that are your past practice, understand? No right, no wrong, because I also make mistake when I was young. When I don't know the Dhamma, you know, I also kill mosquito. I also use my hand. I also use mortar to spray. Because I don't understand. But the moment I understand until today, I never do this thing anymore. It cannot be done anymore. So this is something you will know. And this is something that is very different when you cultivate correctly. Oh, I forgot about the Pure Land. You agree or not what they say? Logical or not? No Noble Eightfold Path, how to become enlightened. That's why you don't understand, don't simply comment. Because you are so rigid, one track mind. Then you go and presume, understand? Perceive it that way. Because you never go and find out and investigate. You don't know how Pure Land people cultivate. Because I've done it before from the past. That's why this line I don't need to check. I understand why. And I explain to you, you will know. What is this Four How? You know what is Four How in there? The Buddha's name or the Kuan Yin's name or the Bodhisattva's name means Amitabha is a Four How. Means their what they call the Buddha's name, Manasa, or their what you call in English? Huh? What is it?
Call sign.
Call sign, something like that. Means they are like their name denote them, Manasa. Namo is homage to the. That's why we all Namo Sakyamuni Buddha, Manasa. So Namo Amitabha Buddha is Amitabha Buddha. Namo Kuan Singh Buddha. But the Pure Land is different, you know. Because the Pure Land has this type of special vow, power. The Buddha Amitabha is famous for this heavy vow. He got 48 vows. And he is the only Buddha, the very few Buddha that got Pure Land. And you know what he vowed? He vowed very heavy, like Kuan Yin. Those who call upon his Four How, his Buddha's name, with sincerity and faith, there will be a great response to connect this being to his nature so that they can be born in the Pure Land to cultivate and become enlightened. This is the power of vow, like Kuan Yin, because their perfection, their merits, their wisdom is so full, understand not? Until this vow become a nature's law, understand not? Then you no need to have the Buddha around. They say, got such thing, you think Kuan Yin so efficient, everywhere also can be around, or Amitabha. They no need to be around, where that nature make it into a vow, become a nature's law, understand? As long as you are sincere, you diligently chant with faith and sincerity, there will be a response. So when you have faith and you chant, you know what happened or not? When you have faith, Sada is there, correct or not? Confident in the Buddha because you have the faith in him. Then the vow will connect you. Then the virya will come. Then what happened when you chant until the mantra and the mind become one, or the Four How and the mind become one? It's like your mindfulness, isn't it? That's why they are very mindful inside there. And when they are very mindful, the third spiritual faculty of sati is there. And then when sati becomes so stable because they keep on chanting with awareness, that's why they don't just chant. There is a Zen story about a lady every day also. Amitabha, Amitabha. But there is one great monk who understand that this lady chant wrongly. Because he like parroting, he never use his heart, not sincere. You know what he did? He come and bang her door. Until she come and open the door. Every time she chant, not long he will come and bang. Then this lady at first thought, who is it? So many times come and disturb me. So he opened the door. He saw the same guy. He said, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to be funny? Is it? Do you know I'm chanting the Buddha's name? No, I'm cultivating the Amitabha Four How. No? You very bad karma for you to come and disturb me like that. No? Then you know what the old man tell him. He said, do you know I just call you 3 times? You already so angry. You have been calling Amitabha how long? You know? You think Amitabha not angry? Then suddenly this nun suddenly like realize, no. Oh, I have been shouting, I am not chanting. That's why I cannot connect. Then this nun also realized I can still get angry and irritated with what people do, you know. Means you lack wisdom, you lack patience. That's why the Mahayana teaching is different. The faith comes from your sincerity and understanding. Then when you chant with sincerity, your faith drives you, understand? Then the sadha lead to virya, then when you chant until your mind and the Four How is one, no thought, then that whole thing becomes aware, understand? Mindful. Then you continue to stabilize it, it becomes samadhi, understand? And then during that time, they see things as they are. And then they automatically will do the Noble Eightfold Path. Where they understand the three characteristics. They see truth, they see reality. Then the teaching suddenly becomes clear to them. That's why they have a lot of love, compassion and kindness. Because they believe in the embodiment of Amitabha Buddha and Kuan Si Ying Bodhisattva. They have a lot of wisdom, love and compassion. That's why their cultivation is different. You can say what you like, but you don't understand, you never know. So when you understand, then the whole thing is there. Once the spiritual faculty is there, the Noble Eightfold Path very easy, the Dhamma very easy, just come in like that. That's why they have their cultivation. So now I explain, you understand it. So always remember, what is logical may not be the truth. That's why don't simply comment and say things. If you don't understand, have an open mind. Okay? So, we got another 20 minutes. Okay, any more questions? Any more questions? Oh, I haven't finished. A little bit more. One more paragraph. Okay. I read until maybe finish. Okay. We can perceive the phenomenal world so clearly and understand its condition arising nature, leading to the penetrative understanding of the Buddha's teaching on the three characteristics. There is so much joy because the realization keep on arising. Even the day tree became so beautiful with its pristine beauty, stillness and wonders within. Contemplation on death or Maranatmasati is like so easy. There is only love, no negativity. Because of the oneness thing, you take them all in. The mind is always at ease and peaceful. Mind is so relaxed, creative, silent, still and peaceful within. So these are the possibility of having the good life, the noble life, the peaceful life. Compared to your agitated state, when you go back to your normal life, like so much problem. We can also see our own physical and mental flow as we contemplate and move gracefully around in a very relaxed and natural way. You know what is physical and mental flow? Physical is your physical body, all your movement, your action, your activity, your blinking of your eye. You are stretching, bending, turning, everything, yes or not? Whatever you do with your physical, there is a flow, the body and mind is one. The mental is your movement of thought, yes or not? Movement of perception. You can be at the moment of Vedana, feeling, at the moment of contact, perception, at the moment of consciousness, at the moment of activity of mind, at the moment of emotion. The mind can be aware there, yes or not? So all this is mental flow. So mental and physical flow, finally nature's flow. So all this you will understand yourself, no need to teach one. When you are silent, you see them all. When you see, what is there to explain? But you need words to express and explain what is this thing. Then when you read, if you have experience that, you straight away understand, oh, this is so beautiful. Like this lady told me, yesterday at the hilltop, remember? I say when your life force arises, you don't use it for thinking, all this energy go in and charge you up. Wow, she was full of joy. Well, she did it last time. She did Anapanasati. When the Anapanasati become very stable, she said, yeah, after that she went and sleep, like full of energy, charged up. We are not wasting thought, no thinking. So that life force that come all conserved inside. So when you have Anapanasati, very well done, you very strong your energy. That's why they do a lot of jhana, psychic thing. Anapanasati lead to a lot of what they call jhanas. But if you know how to release it out and develop daily mindfulness, it is okay. Understand? You can experience them if it comes as a byproduct. Jhana is not bad. These are all mind state that you can experience. But don't attach, don't cling, don't grasp. It's not jhana that free you, it's wisdom that free you. You hold on to your jhana and become equanimity in the fourth jhana, and you also like an enlightened one. But there is a conditioned state as well. So when certain type of First Noble Truth hit, you still can have sorrow, lamentation, and grief. You still can have fear. Because this is not wisdom yet. Okay, we go on to the last part. We can also see our own physical and mental flow as we contemplate and move gracefully around in a very relaxed and natural way, like the blinking of our eye, turning, bending, and stretching of our bodily parts, etc. Mind and body, or the kaya as one, always in harmony and perfect synchrony. And our mental movement, like every moment of perception, feeling, and activity of maya sankara, like mental intention, mental reaction, thinking, planning, scheming, etc., and consciousness, etc., are all so clear. You can see them happening inside, asana, within your own form and mind. Then our days were scheduled from 5:45 to 9:15 p.m. with sitting, walking, meditation, chanting, and bowing to strengthen our spiritual faculty. Then contemplative meditation to arise the second turning, contemplative wisdom. Meditation reporting, Dhamma sharing, and Q&A, followed by a sustained continuous flow of daily mindfulness. We are having a good religious routine. Means you come in, you pay respect. Before you go out, you pay respect. In between, we have our puja. A lot of very important essential Dhamma notes given to us were also discussed and clearly explained to us by Pratio to enhance our Dhamma understanding. So this is to assist you. Because if you read on your own, if you have not been attending my class, it's not easy for you to understand some of the notes. Unless you have cultivated, meditated, then you were like, oh, this is beautiful. This is like gem. Never seen before. I was told some people send this note to the Singaporean cultivator. They keep on asking for it because they cannot find it in other places. And can just put in writing certain things that nobody can write about. So this is what you should do. You are indeed very fortunate. You had the condition. Make use of the note. After the retreat, also go back, keep it. Then after a while, a few months, I want to read again. Different understanding. After you cultivate, after you have realized, or after you have progressed, you read again, another understanding come about. The same Dhamma, the same word, cater for all level. Understand? That's why my class is like that. You very advanced, also no problem, you come. You new, also no problem, you come. But people cannot understand. How can you cater for a class that is so diverse? Understand? Do you know that in this group, there are some never come for meditation before, never attend retreat before? A lot, quite a number. And they can fit in one, not a problem. Because you will feel the difference. And those who attend retreat before, they will tell me, at first they did not go, no? Because normally very strict one, cannot talk, cannot move. You have to sit there, torture yourself. Then want to sleep, then not sleep. Then everything is so rigid. You know? There is no freedom. Then they are taught that type of very mechanical type of meditation. So, of course, after a while, any type of retreat also make you peaceful, because after a long time, you feel peaceful. But the difference is, that type of peace, you go out, within a few days, you lose them. Then you realize you haven't changed. You are still like before. Still can get angry, still can get emotional, still got fear, never change. But this one that I teach is so different. Even they don't come for retreat. I told you about Alicia. They come to my house and listen and solve their problem. This one changed your life. This one go back. You are different. You are not sensitive to noise and all that. You can cope. More noise, more problem, better, because you got noble effort, but you got understanding. You know you only need to be silent and heedful. Don't react. Always follow noble effort. And then you realize, hey, life becomes so simple. If I got no negativity, I got no problem. if I don't get angry, means the evil root. If I don't get like emotional or selfish and arise a fear, I got no evil root. I got no suffering. If I don't attach and cling on to things deludedly, through this understanding, I can accept things better. Then I can be at peace. I focus on the reality and solve my problem. I don't go and blame, get angry and react to what happened. Means I cannot accept the reality of the moment. Then I become evil, I become negative. That's how suffering comes to be. Understand? Huh? So when you understand, it's so simple that your life, choose wisely, how do you want to live? To be happy or to be sorrowful or miserable, entirely your choice. So have the wisdom to choose wisely. Okay? So more or less another 10 minutes. Any question or not? Yeah. So that afterwards we can go into the other notes. Eh? I don't want to spend too much time on the first few notes. If you don't have any question, maybe today I let you go earlier so that you can do your things. Eh? Then you can take your time to go down to have your meal, eh? Your lunch. Okay, we will do the closing puja. Eh? Maybe we will just chant the Thai Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Avivadimi. Then we pay respect. Okay? Okay, compose your mind. Yeah? Then we do it. Do it with faith and do it mindfully. As you turn and move, as you do your respect, you must be mindful. Eh? Your body and mind as one. That's it. Yeah? Okay, we start. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavatang Avivadimi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Oh, sorry. The third one, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, pay respect to the Sangha. Okay, this book by Ing B, the 32 part. Eh? Those who want to have a look, you can. Eh? They are here.